Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program 387 in the series. It's May 18th. It's a Saturday evening. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. Did you go to the spa or something like that?
Yes, I did, Carl.
You look fantastic.
Well, I spent some time out in the sun. And then
did you?
I went to the spa.
Did you get a haircut?
I got a lot of hairs cut, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a crook. Well, it's summertime, and you get hot with all that hair on.
And your voice sounds deeper. I'm not sure what it is about you, Lisa.
I think I might have spent a little too much time under the light.
Is that what it is?
The sunlight, a lamp thing, yeah.
Do our listeners know who this mystery voice is?
I would hope so. After many, many years of listening.
I would not know.
Oh,
it is the one and only Roger Badish.
Who? Oh, no, that's amazing.
What's up, Roger?
I love listening to him.
You know, I'm gonna change your voice now. I'm going to make it deeper. You ready? I have a control here.
Oh, you do?
Here we go. I'm changing it right now.
Hi, Carl. How you doing?
Hey.
Good to be here with you.
Yeah, what's going on, Roger Badish?
Well, nothing. I was home taking my usual Saturday nap, and my phone starts making a lot of noise, and I saw it was from you, and I turned it off, went back to sleep.
Very good. Well, that well, Lisa is on vacation today and tomorrow, so you are so cordial to be my co-host for these nights, and I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Hopefully,
cordial is not an actual word that I've used in my...
Well, you are cordial.
Well,
you are cordial. Very cordial.
Yeah.
Handsome, too.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Well, I always say the vivacious Lisa,
That's true.
Roger Badish.
Well, all right, if you say so.
And you know what? We're going to start things off. We'll be out here 2 o'clock in the morning, by the way.
Yeah.
And we're going to start things off with my favorite classic radio show, and I think it's one of yours, too. Boston Blackie.
I love Boston Blackie.
Oh, yeah. Boston
Blackie's
great.
One of my top 10, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then Jack Benny on the Jack Benny program.
Rochester.
And then the Cisco Kid from 1958. And we're also going to play our game, Is It Real or Is It Ridiculous?, brought to you by Cat's Pride. And we're going to do something slightly different.
Okay.
Throughout the three times we play the game tonight and then also tomorrow, it's all going to be, the celebrities will all be directors, famous
Ooh.
Directors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first one is Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
You
and
just start out with the big one right off the bat.
He probably was the biggest one.
In more ways than one, yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Wait a second. Hang on a second. I'm going to say that again. He probably was one of the biggest ones.
I notice you get out the with Lisa. You use that little $5 little sound effect thing.
Oh, I have
and with
it.
Me,
I have it.
Well, it's not. I mean, you've got that thing now.
I got two sound effects. So be careful. All right. So we'll take the third caller. What do they win, by the way, if they call and
well,
play the game
I'm
with us?
Well, I'm telling you, we have got a choice of two things.
Well, no, you got to
just one.
Just one thing.
All right. Wait a minute here. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Carl says to pick this one. Wow, right off the bat.
What is it?
Desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men, call 855-955-HVAC.
We'll play the game right after these words. Stick around. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. All right, let's play our game, Roger. What do we have on the line?
We have Stephen on the line.
Stephen,
are you there?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Oh, there's that darn echo again.
We got the echo. Yeah,
yeah.
We do.
Oh, well. Okay.
Hang in there with us, Stephen.
Okay.
You're not the echo.
Yeah.
We have an echo.
We're kind of echoey.
Yeah.
All right. So it's all about famous directors this weekend. Start things off with Alfred Hitchcock. It's Real or Ridiculous. Here's the first question for Stephen, and then you'll be his lifeline, okay?
Oh, okay.
All
sounds
right.
good.
Stephen, Alfred Hitchcock directed 53 films and made cameo appearances in all but two of them. Is that real or ridiculous?
Real.
Roger?
Yeah, well, I know about him playing a role in each. I didn't hear that he missed two of them, but I'm going to go with real.
All right, you're both wrong. It's ridiculous. Oh. Hang on a second. I stumped you. He made cameos in 39 of his films, so he did not make a cameo appearance in 14 of them.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Stumped all you guys. Right. It's all right. Here's the next question. In Psycho, Hitchcock used Hershey's chocolate syrup for the blood in the shower scene. Stephen, is that real or is that ridiculous?
I'm going to call it Roger for my lifeline.
I think it's real because of the way it showed up in the shots in black and white. And I'm probably going to be wrong because there's probably some other condiment that could have been used, but I'm going to go with the chocolate.
All right. So, Stephen, here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. The answer is real. Hitchcock did not like the way pig's blood looked when filmed in the scene, so they used Hershey syrup for the blood. Since the film was black and white, it did not matter with the blood that the blood was dark brown. What do you think?
Well, there probably you go, a little thicker when it's mixed in with the water too.
Yeah,
it kind of it moved the way he
wanted
it.
It just looked
to move
a lot better on film.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are one for two, and here's the third question about Hitchcock. All of the birds seen in the film The Birds are real. Is that real or ridiculous, Stephen?
Real.
Yeah, I'm going with that, too. Hitchcock was known for being as real as possible.
Well.
Oh, no!
Guys, both are wrong. Sorry, ridiculous. Oh. The majority of the birds seen in the film are real, but it is estimated that more than $200,000 was spent on the creation of mechanical birds for the film.
Oh.
So there you go. Stephen, you are a winner, though.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. It was great to have you playing along, Stephen. You get a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Just call 855-955-HVAC. And you don't have to call, Stephen, because we'll be sending it to you. You don't have to call them for it, okay?
Okay, thank you very
Thanks
much.
Very much,
sure.
Stephen. You're a big winner. We appreciate you. We appreciate our listeners, and I appreciate you co-hosting the show with me tonight and tomorrow, Roger. But right now it's time for Boston Blackie. All right, one of the best detective series of the golden age of radio. It started out in 1944, starring Chester Morris, who you know was playing Boston Blackie in the movies
that
time.
Yeah.
But then he only did it for one summer season. He was not able to do the syndicated version. They cast Dick Calmar as Boston Blackie. He was married at the time to Dorothy Kilgallen.
Wow.
Yeah.
From the game shows.
That's right. And she was a big columnist. She was sort of the Barbara Walters of her day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a great series, Boston Blackie. He was a amateur thief turned detective. Well, actually, he was a master thief, really.
He was
a great thief turned amateur detective.
Yeah. He turned to the good side.
And we have an episode for you now from April 23rd, 1945. This is actually the third episode in the syndicated series. Dick Calmar stars in the Wentworth Diamonds. Here's part one now of Boston Blackie.
If you have all taken seats that satisfy you, gentlemen, we will proceed at once with the business at hand.
Good.
Maps, photographs, and other data, Miss Arden.
In your portfolio, Mr. Farber.
Thank you. Gentlemen, we are faced with a crisis. We're in dire need of funds. And we shall acquire said funds from the Wentworth Diamonds. net profit to us, $500,000.
Of course, the Wentworth rocks are too hot to handle.
The main stone, yes, we have no interest in that. We shall acquire our revenue from the 24 smaller stones of the Wentworth collection.
We going to take it out of Lady Wentworth's home?
Lady Wentworth has only a paste copy of the diamonds in her name. The real diamonds are in the National Vault. At 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, the diamonds are to be transferred by armored truck from the National Vaults for 2 weeks' display at the Manchester Museum. It is there that we appropriate them.
They'll be heavily guarded at the museum, won't they?
You will hire a dozen of the city's most capable trigger men. They'll be paid well.
I get it. Rough stuff.
You will lead the operations, Mr. Adams. 6 guards will stand in our way. The 2 at the front door can be subdued at trigger point. The 2 at the entrance to the gallery in which the Wentworth collection is being displayed may have to be rendered unconscious.
The other 2?
The other 2 will be guarding the Wentworth diamonds. They are to be killed.
When do you plan to do this?
I'll inform you of the exact day and time of day. In the meantime, you'll study these maps and photographs at the Manchester Museum. One more thing.
There's more?
Yes. We now come to that portion of our plans which involves the person known as Boston Blackie.
And now meet Richard Colmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
Like walking in the rain, Blackie?
That's a leading question.
Where does it lead?
Well, right now, Mary, around the corner to your apartment.
Okay. Oh, it's been a wonderful evening.
Yeah. I hope the 3 of us enjoyed it.
The 3 of us?
Sure. You and I and the man who's been following us.
Someone following us? Why?
Never had a man follow you before?
Oh. Did you see someone?
Yes.
What do we do?
Keep talking.
About what?
Oh, anything. Tell me a funny story.
A funny story?
So when I get through with him, this guy following us will have something to laugh about.
All right.
After we turn this corner here, I'll stop. But you go ahead, cut across the grass, and keep talking all the time. Here's the corner. Now, keep going. I'll hug the wall and get this fellow as he goes by.
But what if he puts up a fight?
About the only thing he'll get to put up is a squawk. Now, keep on talking. I stop here. Wish me luck.
I do. It was really the funniest thing that's happened to me in weeks, Blackie. The telephone rang about 7 o'clock this morning. And a squeaky little voice asked for Ozzy.
All right, you reach.
Boss, don't shoot, it's me.
Shorty, well, what? Wait a minute. Hey, Mary, come on back, it's all right, it's a friend of mine.
I've been telling you all night, boss. I gotta talk to you, but not with a dame, Blackie, I can't.
Since one of you turned girl shy? This is Mary Wesley, Shorty. Mary, this is Shorty, an old pal of mine.
How do you do? Boss, I gotta talk to you, and where nobody can see us.
Well, if you two want to talk, you can come up to my apartment.
Thanks, boss, this gotta be private conference.
Come on, Shorty, it's all right. Mary doesn't talk. And besides, she makes good coffee.
Oh. Hey, boss. Hey, you're right as a parson. This is sure good coffee.
How right are you about this frame? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I told you all I know, Blackie. And that's all I know. A high-class operator is going to snatch the Wentworth diamonds from the Manchester Museums.
And you got it straight from one of the hoods who was hired as a trigger man.
Well, from a guy who knew a guy who was hired.
But I don't understand how they're going to involve you, Blackie.
Well, the plan seems to be this. To dress one of the gunmen to look like me. He'll be called, Blackie several times during the holdup.
Yeah, and they figure to knock off a couple of guards, see? So Blackie will get wrapped by the cops for murder. And then to cinch it. They're planting the big Wentworth diamond in Blackie's apartment.
Is this really true?
Probably, but that doesn't mean it's going to work.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't know when they're planning the robbery, so I don't know when to make sure to have an alibi. This is cute.
Well, why don't you try calling Inspector Faraday?
When I want somebody to laugh at me, I'll tell jokes.
Oh, please, Blackie, please. It's the smartest thing.
Will it make you happy?
Very.
All right. I've always wanted a legitimate excuse to wake Faraday in the middle of the night anyway.
Oh, he'll listen to you. I just know it.
Like I listen to opera. Faraday's probably snoring so loud that he would...
Hello?
Faraday, this is your old pal Blackie.
Blackie, what's the idea of calling me up this time of night?
What's the matter, Sleeping Beauty? Were you dreaming you had the goods on me at last?
Did you call me up to make jokes, Blackie? Because if you did, I...
No. Listen, Inspector, and listen carefully.
I'm not listening to anything from you. Go to bed and let me get some sleep.
Wait. Faraday. Faraday.
Did he hang up?
Well, he didn't exactly invite me over for a midnight snack.
Well, gee, boss, now what do we do?
I know what you're going to do, Blackie. Leave town.
Yeah, the lady's right, boss. You can't have no alibi 2 weeks long in this town. But if you just lamb out of town for 2 weeks...
I don't like to take it on the chin any more than anybody else. But I'm not going to take it on the lamb.
Oh, I know what you're thinking, darling. It's running away and you don't want to run away. But please, Blackie, please do it for me.
I must be getting soft.
Well, it's the thing you gotta do, boss. For the lady's sake.
Now, I'll get your train or plane reservations. You go to your apartment with Shorty and I'll phone you there.
I don't know why I'm doing this. I guess those looks of yours sure pack a wallop.
Never mind my looks. You just see to it that you pack a bag.
How many shirts you want in this suitcase, boss?
Oh, I don't know. Gosh, I wish that Chicago call would come in. Oh, well. Shorty, is there something that maybe you haven't told me yet? For instance, what time tomorrow are the diamonds being taken from the National Vaults to the museum?
7 o'clock. They'll be in the museum at 8, see? An armored car is picking them up.
No chance they intend to steal them en route. They're too well guarded in an armored car.
Gee, boss, how do you know the diamonds would be picked up at the National Vaults instead of Lady Wentworth's house?
Lady Wentworth wears only paste copies of the Wentworth diamonds. The real ones have always been in a vault.
Gee, you know everything, boss.
Well, I know I'm in the clear till those stones get to the museum at 8 tomorrow morning. This is probably my Chicago call now.
Or the dame with the reservations on a train, lady.
Hello?
Blackie, this is Mary. I couldn't get a plane reservation at all. I got a train reservation to Chicago just as you wanted, but it's not until Friday.
All right, then I'll leave on Friday.
Oh, but Blackie, to be perfectly safe, you have to be out of town before tomorrow morning.
Look, honey, don't worry. I'll play Invisible Man until Friday.
But I am worried, darling. What if they rob the museum before Friday?
Then I'm in a jam.
Well, if having an alibi will help, can't someone be with you all the time?
You like the job for yourself?
Oh, Blackie. Oh, Blackie, be serious. You know I can't meet you until 4 o'clock.
That has to be a date.
All right. But be careful, darling. And call me in the morning?
I'll give you a ring at 10.
See that you do. Night.
Good night. Well, Shorty, looks like you and I have a chance to have a little fun. I can't leave town till Friday.
Oh, gee, boss. But you better tell your pal Kingston in Chicago and tell him you're not coming to see him until Friday, huh?
Not at all, short one. He's going to help me.
Oh. Well, gosh, what can he do? He's in Chicago.
He can give me a hand through one of his branch offices here. If I was... Oh, it's probably Charlie now. Hello?
Mr. Charles Kingston of the Kingston Corporation in Chicago calling Mr. Boston Blackie.
I'll take it, operator.
Here's your party, Mr. Kingston. Hello, Blackie.
Hello, Charlie.
How are you, fella?
Oh, swell, Charlie. Is the man who does favors in?
Sure, he's a right front ticket, Blackie. What is it?
Can you hear me clearly?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, Charlie. Here's what I want you to do.
Hello?
Morning, Mary.
Oh, Blackie, I've worried all night long. Where are you?
In my apartment. Stop worrying.
But, Blackie, as long as you're in town and those...
Look, Mary, everything's going to be all right. There's nothing to the...
Blackie! What's the matter? Blackie!
May I see the timetable of the Wentworth diamond robbery, Hazel?
Here you are, Mr. Farthing.
Good. Now, here on the chart, we can see what progress we will make today.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1:30. The men are here at this moment, a mile and a half south of the museum.
Mm-hmm.
In 15 minutes, the first of them will enter the museum and take their places. In 30 minutes, it'll all be over. You're smiling.
Yes.
You like the way I plan?
Obviously.
Ah, if my schedule's right, this should be Mr. Boston Blackie. Come in.
Here he is, Mr. Farthing. Boston Blackie.
Oh. Won't you come in, Blackie?
Do I have a choice?
Not for the present. That'll be all, Tom.
Right.
I'm Roger Farthing. This is Miss Hazel Arden, my secretary. Hazel, the famous Boston Blackie.
How do you do?
How are you?
You know why you're here?
Not to play house. When do my teeth start chattering?
In exactly 22 minutes, men in my employ are going to steal the Wentworth diamonds from the Manchester Museum and inadvertently kill two of the guards. One of the gunmen will be referred to by the others as Blackie. You begin to see?
Seeing is a little habit I picked up some time ago.
Splendid. As you probably know, the main Wentworth diamond is too distinctive to be of value to anyone other than its rightful owner.
So?
So, one of my associates is placing it in your apartment shortly after the robbery, then informing the police of its whereabouts. You will be forced to remain here until it is found. You understand?
Perfectly.
You know something, Blackie? Nothing disturbs you. I'd like to have you on my side.
You want me on your side? Believe me, Farthing, you'd be more comfortable with acute appendicitis.
All right, that's first portion of Boston Blackie with the Wentworth Diamonds. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. But first, these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
The proud, honorable men and women of our military, sacrificing their lives and their families for our freedom. Please take time to remember and pray for our men and women fighting overseas. This salute courtesy of Asoco Architects in Chicago, where they're working hard for the future of our community. For information, call 312-755-9800. That's 312-755-9800. Asoco Architects is on the air saluting our troops.
All right. Time for more Boston Blackie. You want that right now,
Roger? I want as much Boston Blackie as I can get.
All right. Let's get back to this April 25th, 1945 broadcast called the Wentworth Diamonds. A conclusion now to Boston Blackie.
This way to the display of the Wentworth Diamonds, the Arling Galleries to the right.
Saw a couple of the cars drive up across the street. Boy, should be coming through the front door in a minute, right? There they are. Took care of the guards at the door.
Go ahead, do your stuff.
All right, everybody get back. Keep quiet. This isn't any fooling.
Over this way, Blackie in here.
Come on, gang. Blackie, over this way.
Blackie, get those two guards. Cut them down. Cut them down.
I got the diamonds. Let's go.
Nice shooting, Blackie. Nice shooting. Those guards never know what hit them.
Faraday.
Inspector, this is Mary Westley.
Yeah?
You remember me, don't you?
Oh, I remember all of Boston Blackie's friends, so I can identify him when we pull him out of the river. What do you want?
I talked to Blackie on the phone at 10 o'clock this morning. We were cut off. I haven't heard from him since.
Oh, don't let that surprise you.
But I had a date with him at 4 o'clock, and he didn't show up. I'm worried about him.
I think you should be.
Has something happened?
Plenty. I hope you like music, Miss Wesley, because you're playing second fiddle to the Wentworth Diamonds. Blackie stole them this afternoon.
When we left Boston Blackie, he was, to all appearances, hopelessly victimized by Roger Farthing's plan to frame him for the theft of the Wentworth Diamonds and the murder of the two museum guards. As provided in Farthing's plan, the police have been notified that the main Wentworth Diamond is in Blackie's apartment. And as we continue our story, Inspector Faraday knocks on Blackie's door.
Okay, Blackie. Come on, open up in there. Open up! All right.
Hi, Inspector.
Okay, Shorty. Go on, get back in the apartment. Where's Blackie? Where's the Wentworth Diamond?
The Wentworth Diamond, Inspector?
Shorty, the only time you look smart is when you're trying to look dumb.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Sit down over there and behave yourself. I'm going to look around for that diamond.
Oh, Inspector, there ain't no jewel around here. In that drawer anywhere else.
He not only stole the entire Wentworth collection, but he killed two guards. And you can't get out of a rap like that with a suspended sentence. Well, nothing in here. Maybe this drawer.
Look, Inspector, I can tell you the whole thing from the beginning if you'll believe me.
Yeah? Blackie rehearse you?
Look, do you remember when Blackie was...
Oh, the jewel wasn't here, huh? What's this, a kid's marble?
Gee. Hey, that rock's got more sparkle than a pinwheel.
Yeah, this is the Wentworth Diamond, all right. Now, what do you do with the smaller ones?
You mean there's more?
You know there are more. And all around here, some...
Uh-oh.
Someone's coming down the hall. It's probably Blackie. Turn out the lights.
Oh, Inspector.
Turn out those lights.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be wonderful.
wise guy knocking on his own door. Is that a signal to you?
It don't mean nothing to me.
I'll open it.
Blackie, are you... Oh.
Miss Wesley, it's you.
Is Blackie here?
Turn on the light, Shorty.
Oh, sure thing. Hi, Miss Wesley.
Shorty, where is he? What happened to him?
Well, didn't he meet you?
No. And when he called me, we were cut off. I don't know what happened.
Oh, gee.
Okay, you two. Make yourselves comfortable. Because we're going to wait right here for Blackie.
Oh, gee, Inspector, I think you're way off base.
Think so, huh? Well, we're waiting here all night if we have to. Because with Miss Wesley here, I'll guarantee Blackie thinks there's no base like home.
Mr. Farthing. Mr. Farthing.
Ah, I must have fallen asleep, Hazel. Sleep well earned.
You've released Boston Blackie?
Yes. Before very long, we shall hear that he's been picked up for robbery. And murder. And tomorrow morning, I shall have in my hands 24 of the most precious diamonds in the world.
Tomorrow morning, Mr. Farthing? You mean this morning?
Oh, it is quite late, isn't it?
Nearly mid-morning.
I suggest you go to your room and try to sleep, Hazel. And if you are addicted to dreams, my dear, perchance you can dream of the crime so perfect that it costs nothing but the life of Boston Blackie.
Gee, Inspector, it's the middle of the morning. Hey, when do we get out of here, huh?
When I say you do, not before. So don't keep asking. Uh-oh, there's a key in the door. It's probably Blackie. Quiet.
Mary, Shorty, okay, good morning. What?
Hold it, Blackie.
Oh, Inspector, do you have to turn up when I feel refreshed and happy? One look at you and I'm 20 years older.
You're not going to live 20 years, Blackie. What they do to you for murder in this state isn't good for your health.
What did I do, kill one of your jokes?
You killed two guards at the Manchester Museum yesterday.
No, don't be a fool, Faraday. I wasn't near the Manchester Museum when those guards were killed.
Then where did you get this diamond I found in your drawer? At the 5 and 10?
I could get one like that off a chandelier, Inspector. That's a phony.
That's the central diamond from the Wentworth collection. And you know it.
I don't even know that the diamonds were stolen.
What?
For all I know, they're still in the Manchester Museum, just where they ought to be.
Sometimes I think you ought to have your head examined. There are witnesses who saw you there. I find the diamond in your apartment, and you tell me the Wentworth jewels are still in the museum. Come on, what did you do with the smaller stones?
Mary, call the museum, will you?
Sure.
The phone number's Plaza 39613.
That kind of a stall isn't going to get you anywhere, Blackie. Forget about that phone call, Miss Wesley.
Make it, Mary, and don't be a dope, Faraday. Wait a minute.
Oh, what'll I say?
Tell the museum you're calling for Inspector Faraday.
All right.
I'm not going to wait around for any phone call.
Where would you like to meet us, Inspector? At the Ritz or the Roney?
Very funny, Blackie. But I don't need a phone call to prove those diamonds were stolen. I got one of them right in my hand.
Roll that stone out, Inspector, and it'd make a nice window pane.
Hello, Manchester Museum. I'm calling for Inspector Faraday. Yes, of police headquarters.
They don't even know you, pal.
Yes, just a minute. He wants to talk to you, Inspector.
Yeah? We didn't know who I was, huh? Give me that phone.
Blackie said he's been trying to reach the inspector
all
morning.
Hello, this is Faraday.
Most people
talking.
Don't know when they're well
off. What do you want? The Wentworth diamonds are in their display case. What? Sure, I'll be right down.
I told you the diamonds were right where they belong, Faraday. Have a nice trip down there. Mary and I are going to have some breakfast. You too, Shorty. Come on.
Just a minute, Blackie. I don't fall for any of tricks this easy. I'm going down to have a look at those jewels, all right? But you're going with me.
Here are the diamonds, Inspector, just as they were before the robbery. I don't understand it, but here they are.
How do I know these aren't phony?
I beg your pardon, Inspector, but I'm an expert in such matters.
What about this diamond in my hand?
It's paste.
And what's this gag about the jewels being stolen and two guards killed?
Well, it's all very true, Inspector. But this morning when I came into the museum, here were the diamonds just as they were before the unfortunate incident. It's amazing.
Happy, Faraday?
All the diamonds are here?
All but one small stone. But we're so happy to have the other diamond returned, we aren't terribly concerned.
Well, I'm concerned. Especially about those two murdered guards.
I'll tell you where you can find that missing stone, Faraday, and the man responsible for the death of the two guards.
In your apartment?
No, in room 909 in the Winston Hotel. In the handkerchief pocket of a friend of mine.
Blackie, you're getting deeper and deeper into this every minute.
I'll be in plenty deep if a certain party had a cold last night. A diamond that size is nothing to sneeze at.
Oh. Here's room 909. Whose room is this?
You'll see.
Yes?
Hello, beautiful.
What do you want?
In. Come on, Inspector.
I'm with you.
How dare you force your way in here?
I seemed welcome enough here yesterday. Where's Farthing?
Who's out there?
Don't talk, beautiful. He's in there, Inspector. Come on.
Mr. Farthing, it's the police.
What's the meaning of...
You two know each other, don't you?
Hello, Farthing. I didn't know you were in town.
Oh, good morning, Inspector. I was just in town for the day on a buying trip.
Buying diamonds, Inspector.
Diamonds?
For free. Look in his handkerchief pocket, Faraday.
I'm in no mood for practical jokes, gentlemen. I have a business appointment that
You may have to reach inside for the stone, Faraday. The handkerchief may not pull it out.
We'll see. There.
What fell on the desk, Inspector?
Looks like a diamond to me. Farthing, if this is from the Wentworth collection, I'm arresting you for murder and robbery.
It's from the Wentworth collection, all right.
From the looks of it, I'd say the same thing. Congratulations, Blackie.
Farthing, do you admit this is a Wentworth diamond?
Oh, I see no reason why I shouldn't. You'll discover it for yourself in due time. I know when I'm beaten, but I don't know how. Blackie?
Sorry, Farthing. That's a secret of the profession.
If we of the same profession were alone...
Same profession? Don't flatter yourself, Farthing.
Inspector, would you be so kind?
Let us have 5 minutes alone, Faraday. It's all right.
I'm not the type to run away from anything once I run into it. It's entirely safe.
Well, with Blackie in here and me outside the door, I guess it's okay. 5 minutes, no more.
Sit down.
Thanks. You're a good sport, Farthing. Sit right here.
A gambler has to be a good sport.
Yes, I guess he does.
I'm amazed. How did you do it, Blackie? When?
The diamond in your pocket? It wasn't easy. You didn't let me get close to you but once when I was here yesterday. Fortunately, once was enough.
But that's so utterly impossible. The diamonds were still in the museum when you were here yesterday.
That's where you're wrong, Farthing. The diamonds were never in the museum. Only a set of paste.
Why?
I switched them myself at the National Vaults, 8 o'clock yesterday morning.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Tell me how.
Well, the first thing I did was to borrow Lady Wentworth's paste set.
Mm-hmm.
That was easy. Lady Wentworth is away. The paste set is not locked up because it's worthless. Then I hired an armored car.
That alone is no simple matter.
It was simple enough for my friend Charlie Kingston.
Of Chicago?
Yes. He hired an armored car for me through his local office.
Oh, and how did you use this armored car?
My friend Shorty and I dressed as bank guards and went to the delivery entrance of the vaults a little before 8 with the paste diamonds in a case just like the ones the real diamonds were in.
I see. You stayed just inside the delivery entrance until the armored truck came along, then walked out with the paste diamonds and gave them to the driver.
Well, that was no problem. We weren't stealing anything, just handing to the driver something he expected to get.
So far, brilliant. Brilliant. Then what?
Then Shorty and I got our own armored car from around the block, drove it to the delivery entrance of the vault, and picked up the real diamonds from the real bank guards.
Ah, that was simple, too, because the bank guards expected to see an armored car outside the delivery entrance.
So a set of phonies went to the museum, and I kept the real set. Until after your men robbed the museum. Then I broke into the museum at night and delivered the real diamonds, that is, all except the one small stone which I planted on you.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Thanks. That's a lot coming from you under the circumstances.
I am an artist in my way, Blackie, and you're an artist in yours. Does one great painter scoff at the work of another because the other's artistry is superior to his own?
Maybe you're not the artist you think, Farthing.
Why do you say that?
The idea of involving me. It seems to me that a good artist concentrates more on the picture and a little less on the frame.
Oh, Blackie, look at those lovely diamonds in this window. Aren't those engagement rings beautiful?
They sure are.
Oh, how I'd love to have that one there.
You would?
Well, it might depend on who gave it to me.
Oh.
I might like you to give me one someday. Except.
Except what?
Except I'd never be quite sure just how you got it.
All right, Boston Blackie, April 25th, 1945, The Wentworth Diamonds, starring Dick Calamar, Leslie Woods in that cast as Mary Wesley, and Maurice Tarplin as Inspector Faraday, the third episode in the series. More of WGN Radio Theater after these words.
America, our military is sacrificing for our freedom. Please take this time to remember our men and women fighting overseas. This salute courtesy of Silva Painting, serving our listeners with quality, service, reliability, and integrity. For quality interior and exterior painting work, both commercial and residential, call 312-468-7135. That's 312-468-7135. That's Silva Painting on the air, saluting our troops.
I should probably turn my microphone on. Thanks, Roger. You know what we have coming up in our next hour? The Jack Benny program. Jack Benny program. And you know what, Jack Benny... I would say Jack Benny suspense and the Whistler or Inner Sanctum are staples.
Or The Shadow.
Are staples in the Classic Radio Club. Suspense, probably every other month we put a suspense in there. Jack Benny maybe every other month or every third month. The Classic Radio Club is a club for our listeners to join. If you want to be part, folks, of the Classic Radio Club and get 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time each and every month, I choose these 10 shows each month from my library of over 100,000 master recordings directly provided by the rights holders, and we pay royalties for all these shows. Sure. And we get the master recordings, and then Mike Costella, he does a tremendous job. He does a tremendous job of making these shows sound even better than when they are aired originally. And then I write copious liner notes for these shows, and you can get these 10 shows every single month sent to you on 5 CDs in a collector case, or if you don't want the CDs, you'd just rather have the digital downloads, we send them to your email, and you can Bluetooth them on any listening device. And it's all at ClassicRadioClub.com. Learn all about it. And, in fact, we have a special offer. The very first month, you only pay $1.
That's amazing.
Yeah, $1.
You are really a very generous man. You are.
Thank you, sir.
You are.
Thank you. Are you enjoying your Classic Radio Club CDs?
Yes, I've been getting them every month since, I think it's been a year.
It's been almost a year.
Almost a year. And I've got them, and I listen to them when I get a chance at home, and I've even introduced the grandkids to them.
Oh, man.
And they love them, especially the comedies.
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, Grandpa, wow, these are better than TV.
Yeah.
Actually, in my opinion, they are.
Yes.
These classic radio shows, there's no better entertainment than these shows.
In fact, they were TV before there was TV.
That's right.
Think about it. How many of these shows transferred to television when that was invented?
Tons of them.
Yes.
Most of the shows on radio made the transition in the late 40s, early 50s, when television was, television was actually invented in the 1920s. People don't realize this.
That's right.
But they didn't become part of Americana and people buying them until the late 40s, early 50s.
And that's because 1939 at the World's Fair in New York, it was first introduced by General Sarnoff, RCA, but then the war happened and development of all television, in fact, all communications, was stalled for the war effort. That's why the TVs didn't come out until after the war effort.
And radio was already,
going
strong, and it was a great way for people to stay connected what was going on with the war, so they didn't mess with that. So this is all part of what we talk about sort of in the liner notes and things. You learn about the shows, you learn about the history at that time, and it's all there in the Classic Radio Club. So, folks, I hope you'll join, and there's testimonials at the site. People that are, our members, they send me emails and texts all the time about how much they love the shows we're picking every month, and it's all there, ClassicRadioClub.com. We hope you'll join. All right, in our next hour, it's Jack Benny. Then in our third hour, we'll have the Cisco Kid, Cisco Pancho. Oh. Yeah, good adventure program from 1958, going to 58. Radio was still going.
I know.
Even though television had taken over, there were still a lot of radio shows on the air, even into the 50s, even still into the 1960s,
right.
A few of them.
Yeah.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David. Welcome back to the show. It is 12:08 in the morning, and thanks for staying up late with us. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night till 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, till 1 o'clock in the morning on Sundays, playing all your favorite classic radio shows. My co-host is Lisa Wolf, although she is on vacation this weekend, so Roger Badish is co-hosting the show. So good to see you, Roger.
Good to see you.
You know, generally, you're like, your head is about the size of a nickel, and it's in this in the box up there.
Yeah, it's on a TV screen. But it's one-tenth the share of the TV screen.
But now your head is actual size here sitting in the booth.
Does it look as big as it feels?
It looks good. It's it's shiny at the top. It's very nice.
Very nice.
It's very nice.
It's, I thought you might put on your sunglasses from the glow from the light shining off of it.
It's good to have you in the studio with me.
It's
here.
Nice to be here.
Because generally, Roger is in the newsroom doing the news, and he does a tremendous job, as does David Jennings and Vic Vaughn, everyone here that does the news. But as I say, you're all the way down the hall. It's so nice to have you.
I always say I'm the X in the corner of the TV screen.
Yeah.
Kind of like, the
X
game
marks
show.
The spot.
Right, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, what is that, Hollywood Squares?
Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, like the Hollywood Squares.
Square. Yeah, right. I'm Square,
wow.
right?
Yeah. I used to love that show, Hollywood Squares.
Fantastic.
I mean, I haven't watched it in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. The reruns?
But, boy, back in the day when they had,
Doodles, Charlie
Doodles
Weaver.
Weaver. Yeah.
Charlie Weaver.
And
they had
Minnie Pearl.
Minnie Pearl.
Remember Minnie
right.
Pearl?
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank on the guy that was in the middle for years and years.
Paul Lynn.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He was so hilarious on that show.
Yeah.
Just incredible. All right. Well, those were the days.
Those were the days,
Roger.
My friend.
In this hour, Jack Benny from 1948, a hilarious broadcast. You're absolutely going to love it. Mm-hmm. In our next hour, it's a Cisco Kid. But right now, we're going to play our game, Cat Sprite. Is it real? Or is it ridiculous? And all weekend, it's all about great directors. And in this hour, it's about Martin Scorsese. All right? You've heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese.
Of course
I've
heard of him.
Probably heard of him?
I think so.
He's made a few movies.
Yeah.
A few movies.
Just a few minor ones.
What do they win?
What do they win?
What are they going to win,
man,
Roger?
This is... You thought the last one was fun.
What is this?
Pair of tickets to the Porchlight Revisits Minis Boys, May 22nd and 23rd. And I got to tell you, I saw this in New York City.
Really?
When it was first there in 1969.
It's about the Marx Brothers?
It was about the beginnings of the Marx Brothers.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Very cool play.
All right, so that's what you win. Give us a call. We'll take the third caller at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll play the game right after these words. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. Looks like we have Maria on the line. Hi, Maria.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We're good. We're having fun over here. Yeah. Lisa's on vacation, and we're having a good time. She'll be back next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
I listen all the time.
Oh, thanks, Maria. So you're going to win two tickets to see this great play, but let's play our game, right? You ready to go?
Okay.
Roger will be your lifeline.
Wonderful.
Okay, Martin Scorsese. In Taxi Driver, Scorsese plays the role of a homicidal passenger spying on his cheating wife in Travis Bickle's cab. Is that real, Maria, or is that ridiculous?
I think it's ridiculous.
Think it's ridiculous. Roger, what do you think?
You're probably right, but I'm going to go with real because Scorsese does kind of weird things like that.
All right.
That's true, too.
Do you want to stick with what you have or you want to switch over?
I'm going to stick with what I guess.
All right, then. Maria, this is for you.
Oh!
And Roger.
Okay.
It's real. He played a cameo in the movie. Actually, has quite a few lines.
Yeah.
He's looking, they're sitting in a cab
in
De Niro's playing Travis Bickle. Mm-hmm. They're sitting there in the cab and he's saying, yeah, that's my wife up there, you know, all this. And, Travis Bickle's looking at him cause he's coo-coo.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
So that's, all right. So let's go next one.
All right.
All right. Raging Bull, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Great movie.
was nominated for 7 Academy Awards. It won the Best Picture and Best Director Oscars. Is that real, Maria, or is that ridiculous?
I think it's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Roger?
I'm going to go with real.
Okay, so okay. Maria, this is for you. And Roger? It is ridiculous. It was nominated for 8 Academy Awards and won 2, but they were not for Best Director, Best Picture. The Oscars were for De Niro for Best Actor, mm-hmm. his second, by the way,
nice.
And an Oscar for
okay.
Best Editing.
Oh.
Best Editing.
Great editing.
All right, here's the third question. So you guys are like not simpatico.
I mean,
you're not simpatico.
I'm trying. The airwaves, you know. There's
yeah.
Storms coming through the area.
Yeah,
you know?
there's airwaves in here, all right.
Oh. One more to go.
All right, here we go. In 1967, Scorsese directed his first feature-length film, Cool Hand Luke. Is that real or is that ridiculous, Maria?
I don't think it was his. I'm going to say that not true.
Okay, ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So this is for both of you. You ready?
Yeah.
Oh no! Wait! No! No! I
you
sorry.
Hit
wrong
the wrong
one.
One. You. Yeah. Thank you.
I hit the wrong one.
You.
All right.
Trickster.
So it's ridiculous. You're both all right. Cool Hand Luke was actually directed by Stuart Rosenberg.
Yeah.
Scorsese's.
That's what I saw.
Yeah. Scorsese's first film was I Call First, which was later retitled Who's That Knocking at My Door? So, you know, you both got 2 right. That's pretty darn good. A lot better than I do at this game.
Not bad.
But
not
the
bad.
Big winner is Maria. Maria, you've got a pair of tickets to the Porchlight Revisits Minnie's Boys. It's May 22nd and 23rd. It's the award-winning Porchlight Music Theater. Take Chicago back in time in this loving and joyful look at the young Marx Brothers in the Chicago premiere of this rarely seen gem. People can get tickets at porchlightmusictheater.org. Now,
sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good time.
It is. It is. We saw it, like I said, in 1969 on Broadway. It was fantastic.
All right. Enjoy that, Maria.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like a fun evening. So,
all right. You're a big winner. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
All right. You take care, Maria. All right. You guys ready for Jack Benny, the Jack
yes,
Benny
program. Yes, I am.
This is a good one. November 7th, 1948. Jack hears an echo. It's just in his head. It's echo.
Kind of
very
like
funny broadcast. Yeah, I hear voices
hear
all right. A lot of voices up there. All right, here's part one now. The Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program. With Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills. It's morning, and Rochester is in the kitchen.
Look what time it is. I better start getting Mr. Benny's breakfast ready. Now, let's see. I think I'll give him some ham and waffles. He's crazy about ham and waffles. We're out of ham. And I had the last 6 waffles. Let's see, what else? Oh, I know. I'll fix him a plate of bacon and eggs with French fried potatoes. Uh-oh, can't do that. I had the eggs. Come to think of it, I had the bacon and potatoes, too. Well, I better take a look in the refrigerator again. I wish the boss would buy a refrigerator with electric light in it. This candle keeps melting the ice cubes. Uh-oh, what's this in the corner? Well, the boss is lucky. Here's some orange juice, some pickled beets, and milk. I'll pour the milk over the beets. If he eats without his glasses, he'll think there's strawberries and cream. Well, breakfast is ready. I'll put it on this tray and take it up to him. Better take him the morning paper, too. My, Mr. Benny's still asleep. I better wake him up easy. I'll tickle his feet. He doesn't feel at all. Maybe I ought to take off his socks. The minute the nights get chilly, he doesn't take any chances. Socks, corduroy, pajamas, earmuffs, and a derby. He's a hard man to wake up. I'll try patting his cheek.
Huh? What?
It's only me, boys. You didn't have to tip your hat.
Good morning. Good morning, Rochester.
Your gang will be off for rehearsal pretty soon, so you better sit up now and have your breakfast.
But I don't feel like eating anything, especially strawberries and cream. I had a terrible night.
What's the matter?
It's that echo. It's worse than ever now. I even hear it in my sleep.
Boss, you must be imagining things.
What do you mean, imagining things? I tell you, Rochester's there and I hear it. If I don't get rid of it soon, I'll go screwy.
Screwy, Ole.
Rochester. Rochester.
I know, boss. You heard the echo again.
Yeah, yeah. How'd you know?
When you jumped in the air, your socks changed feet.
Rochester, stop kidding about things like that.
Oh, Jack. Jack, where are you?
Miss Livingston's here already. Well, I can rehearse in my bathrobe. Coming, Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Am I the first one here?
Yeah. You don't mind if I rehearse in my robe, do you?
No, but take off that derby. You look like a plumber's friend.
I'm sorry.
And, Jack, before the gang gets here, how about give me the $10 you owe me on the election bet?
The what? Oh, yes, the election bet. It slipped my mind. I meant to give it to you before.
Oh, sure. Slipped your mind. Come on, give me the $10.
Okay. Here it is.
Thanks. Well, that takes care of the Hoover election. Now, how about this one?
Now, wait a minute, Mary. You can't hold me to that one. He wasn't even on the ballot.
What was it, Miss Livingston?
He bet that Fred Allen would carry the Corn Belt.
Well, he should have. It's been carrying him for the last 10 years. What a program Fred Allen's got. No jokes and double indemnity.
Oh, I don't know, Jack. I think that his program is great this year. Fred Allen is very funny.
He is, eh?
Yeah, he's improved a lot since my mother started writing for him.
Oh, your mother isn't with Bob Hope anymore, huh? Incidentally, Mary, I'm kind of excited. You know, I'm going to be a guest on Bob's program next Tuesday night.
Bob's having you on his program? Why?
Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Bob Hope came to me, looked me right in the eyes, and said, Jack, I want you on my show because you're the greatest comedian in the world. Bob said that. He said, you're the most versatile, the most talented, the cleverest, the wittiest, the most sophisticated, subtle, suave, and the way you put over a joke proves that you're a master in the art of humor.
How much is he paying you?
He said $5,000, but how can you believe a man that can lie like that? Oh, well, we'll come to some kind of an agreement.
Yeah, he'll probably give you a bar of Swan soap.
I hope not. I'll have to break it in two and give my agent half. Anyway, Mary, what's that?
Open the door, let me in. They're after me.
What?
Hurry, they're going to shoot.
Oh, my goodness, it's Dennis. Dennis, what's the matter?
April Fool.
April Fool? Why, you silly kid, this is no time of year to fool people.
Truman did it.
Well, Dennis, don't ever do that again. Gosh, I was so scared, my hair stood up.
Stood up? It jumped off and ran home to Max Factor.
Mary, this is no time for jokes. This kid frightened me so, my blood turned cold.
Coriole.
There it goes again.
Your hair?
No, the echo.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
But, Mary, it's serious. I tell you, it's making me a nervous wreck.
You know, Mr. Benny, last year I used to hear voices all the time. I'd be in my room all alone and I'd still hear those voices.
You did, kid? Yeah, well, then you must know how I feel. Didn't it drive you nuts?
Oh, no, I was nuts before that.
That I can believe. Now, look, kid, before the rest of the gang get here for rehearsal, run over your song, will you?
Okay. Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, why are we rehearsing so early?
Because I have a busy week. I also have to rehearse the Bob Hope program. I'm going to be on it Tuesday night.
Bob Hope wants you on his program? Why?
Why? Because he said that I'm the greatest comedian in the world.
What's the matter? Is he crazy or something?
No, he's not crazy. He may lie a little, but he's okay. Now go ahead and sing, will you? Dennis, that's swell. That song will be all right.
Oh, thanks, but I'm not going to sing it on the program.
Why not?
Because I'm not getting anywhere.
What?
I've been working for you for 9 years, and I can't even afford to buy anything. Clothes, shoes, food, or anything.
Now, wait a minute, Dennis. I'm not responsible for what you do with your money.
What money?
What money? I've been giving you checks every week. What do you do with the money you get when you cash them?
Oh, cash them!
Dennis, don't you know that when Jack gives you a check, you're supposed to...
Leave him alone, Mary. He knows what he's doing. Well, I'll get the scripts ready, and then... Well, that must be the boys now. It's about time. Come in!
Well, hello, everybody.
Hiya, Jackson, Dennis.
Hello, Livy, you delectable Cupid doll.
Well, if it isn't little old Phil Harris, the breath that made Milwaukee famous.
All right, let's take a quick break on the Jack Benny program from 1948. Jack keeps hearing this echo. And it's driving him cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, lady.
All right, quick commercial, then we'll be right back. Well, I don't know how this can be possible, but Roger's not only my co-host tonight, but he's also doing double duty, going to do the news now.
Yeah.
Are you getting paid more, I'm hoping, for
Wait,
the show?
I was supposed to cash the checks.
Or am I supposed to be like Jack Benny?
Right.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
And now, taking off his news hat, putting on his co-host hat and reading a spot.
Yes, I will. The proud and honorable men and women of our military are still overseas, sacrificing their lives and their families' emotions for another country's freedom. Please pray for the courageous troops of our military. This salute courtesy of Designer Decks by MJ in Morris, where they are working hard for the future of our great community. For information, call 815-941-4910. Again, that's 815-941-4910. Designer Decks by MJ is thanking our military for their dedication and service.
All right. Thank you, Roger. And don't forget, folks, Classic Radio Club. That's where you can go and get 10 classic radio shows, the best shows of all time. And every single month, when you join the Classic Radio Club, just like Roger Badish, he's one of our members, you will get 10 shows sent to you either on CD or via digital download. These are the best of the best every single month that I'll pick for you from our 100,000 classic radio shows. You'll get Jack Benny, you'll get Abbott Costello, Suspense, The Shadow, The Lone Ranger, Boston Blackie, The Whistler, Inner Sanctum, Dragnet, Philip Marlowe, on and on and on. Lucille Ball, My Favorite Husband. Mm-hmm. All the greatest classic radio shows, along with liner notes. And you're just going to love it. I mean, you're going to love being a Classic Radio Club member. And you can join for the very first month for only $1. You can cancel at any time, and you'll never get a duplicate show. So it's all there for you at our website, classicradioclub.com. That's classicradioclub.com. All right, we're listening to a very funny episode of the Jack Benny program. You know, the greatest writing. I mean, the incredible writing on Jack Benny. And then he had the best timing of really any of the comedians. I mean, he had a great cast around him with Dennis Day, Phil Harris, Mary Livingston, Don Wilson, Rochester. Mel Blanc was in that a lot of times.
Doing a ton of voices.
He wasn't on every episode, but he was kind of a semi-regular cast member. Jack Benny, really, his ratings were always at the top 3 to 4, always, sometimes number one. And he, I think one of the keys to his success was he let his cast around him get the laughs, you know? He didn't care who got the laughs on the show as long as people listening were enjoying it.
Exactly.
You know? So it reminds me a lot of the Seinfeld show. When you watch the Seinfeld show, Jerry Seinfeld really probably gets the least amount of laughs on the show.
Right.
Yet it's known as the Seinfeld show.
Right.
Same kind of idea, really.
Right.
And that's why I think Jack Benny and the Seinfeld Show were so successful. And
they've stood the test of time.
They really have, as we are listening, and we'll attest to that right now. Let's listen to the conclusion to the Jack Benny program.
Now, look, Don, you too, Phil. Look, when I call a rehearsal for a certain time, I expect you to be here.
Wait a minute, Jackson. What's your rush? Take it easy. Relax. You'll have a show Sunday.
What?
And suppose you do have a lousy one. Nobody's going to turn off the radio. I come on right after you.
Phil.
You got better insurance than Fred Allen.
Phil. Pencilhead. It just so happens that I was on the air 15 years before you even had your own show.
I know, and what happens? The minute I'm on my own, they invent television. They want to see me, too.
Television?
Look, Dad, you better iron out those wrinkles if you want to stick around.
What?
Them blue eyes ain't going to do it alone.
Well, Phil, I'll admit one thing. You're a natural for television. The screen is square and your head will fit right in it. How is that, Don? Don? Mary, where's Don?
His girdle broke and he can't get out of the den.
Well, Dennis. Dennis!
Don's got me pinned in the corner.
Well, come back here, both of you. Now, what's the matter with you guys, anyway? You come over to rehearse, we can't even get started. Look, if I don't have a good show Sunday, I'll hear from my sponsor, Mr. Riggio.
Riggio Lane?
There it is again, the echo. Now, you're all here in this room. I know you heard.
I didn't hear none.
Neither did I.
Who heard it?
Kid. Kid, you're sure you're not ribbing me, are you?
No, Jack, we just don't hear it.
Well, I hear it. I got to do something. I even hear it in my sleep.
Well, Jack, why don't you do like I asked you to? I've been asking you for 3 weeks to go to a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Mary. I'll have to go to some doctor.
Well, I know a wonderful psychiatrist. Why don't you let me take you there?
Okay, Mary, the quicker the better. But what about the rehearsal?
Oh, we can rehearse tonight.
All right. We'll rehearse tonight, kids. Come on, Mary, let's go. What's the number of the doctor's office, Mary?
1107. It's right down the hall.
This must be it here. Room 1107.
Yeah, look what it says on the door. Dr. Nelson, psychiatrist. Come in, lie down for a while. Let's go in.
Just a second.
Jack, stop trying to look shabby. The doctor has one price for everybody.
I'll have to pin my sleeve back on. Oh, well, let's go in.
Yes?
A nurse, I'd like to see Dr. Nelson.
Very well, in just a few minutes. But first I'll have to have some information about you.
Well, my name...
Oh, just a second, sir. I have to write this down. I want to get a pencil. There. Now, your name?
Jack Denny.
Occupation?
A radio comedian.
Are you currently employed?
Yes, I am.
And now for your financial status. What is your bank balance?
Well...
You better get another pencil, nurse.
Mary, please.
We'll go on to the next question. How tall are you?
5'11".
Your weight?
165.
Your eyes? They're blue, aren't they?
Bluer than the lips of a schoolboy at 40 below.
We'll be ready for you in a few minutes. Have a seat. Right over there by that gentleman in the corner. His name is Mr. Skinner.
By the way, nurse, that Mr. Skinner isn't a violent patient, is he?
Oh, far from it. In fact, he's very gentle.
Gentle?
Yes. He thinks he's a rabbit.
Come on, Mary, let's sit down.
Jack, what are you so mad about?
A smart aleck nurse trying to kid me, a rabbit. Man, looks just as normal as I do.
Oh, Jack, there isn't room for both of us to sit on the sofa.
Yes, there is, Mary. I'll ask Mr. Skinner to move over. Pardon me, sir.
What's up, Jack?
Gosh, you hear that, Mary? What's up, Doc? You really do think you're a rabbit, huh?
Yeah, but Dr. Nelson has helped me a lot.
He has? What is his treatment?
Oh, he uses applied psychology. He tries to make me think I'm something else. Right now, he's trying to convince me I'm a pig.
A pig?
That's all, folks.
Oh. Say, Mary.
Yes, Jack?
No, it's a shame this guy is crazy. He's almost as talented as Mel Blanc.
Say, Bud.
Yes, Mr. Skinner.
I told you all about myself. Now, what are you here for?
Oh, it's really nothing very serious. It's just something that bothers me. You see, I'm a comedian.
Oh, on a stage?
No, radio.
Radio lady?
There it goes again. Mary! Mary, you heard it that time, didn't you?
No, Jack, I didn't hear a thing, and calm down.
But there was an echo. Nurse, you heard it, didn't you, nurse?
Well, no, I'm sorry. I did. Mr. Skinner? Mr. Skinner, where are you going?
I'm getting out of here. This guy's nuts.
Nerve. I got a good mind to go after him and punch him right in the
nose. Jack, control yourself.
I won't control myself. I'm not going to let a silly rabbit call me nuts.
All right, Jack. Now sit down.
Yes, doctor? Oh, very well, sir. I'll send in the next patient. It's Mr. Benny. What? No, it's Benny. Bunny just left. Yes, sir. Go right in, Mr. Benny.
Okay. You wait here for me, Mary.
All right, Jack, and don't be nervous.
Mr. Benny.
Yeah?
The doctor may want to examine your head. Take off your derby.
Thanks. Doctor. Doctor, I'm Jack Benny.
How do you do? And now, what can I do for you?
Well, Doctor, I seem that I hear echoes that no one else seems to hear.
Echoes? How long have you suffered from this delusion?
Oh, for several weeks.
Uh-huh. And tell me, how old are you, Mr. Benny?
39.
39. How long have you suffered from that delusion?
It's no delusion. I'm only 39. And what kind of a psychiatrist are you anyway? Instead of a couch in here, you've got a double bed.
Certainly. I like to lie down, too.
Oh.
And now, Mr. Benny, do you have any idea of when this echo first started bothering you?
Yeah, you see, this summer, I was in Europe. I went to Switzerland, and I heard some Swiss yodelers, and ever since then, an echo has followed me.
Very interesting. Now, does this echo repeat everything you say?
Well, not everything. It usually happens on words that end in O.
You mean words like folio?
Yes, in fact, it happened once on that very word, folio.
Folio, lady.
There it is. There it is, Doctor. You heard it, Doctor. There it is. You must have heard it.
There's no echo, Mr. Benny. Now calm down and we'll get to the cause of your neurosis.
Gee, I hope you can. Let's get started with the treatment.
Just a moment. I want to look in the next room and see how another one of my patients is getting along.
One and one is two. Two and two is four. One and two is three. Three and three is six.
Who is that?
Mr. Gallup.
Of the Gallup poll?
Yes. Roper's still working on one and one. And now, back to you, Mr. Benny. Now, Mr. Benny, lie down here and relax.
Thank you.
Comfy?
Yes. Yes. Are you?
Yes.
Good.
And now we'll start with the color association test. Now, I'm going to name a color, and as quick as you can, you tell me exactly what comes into your mind. Ready?
Yes.
Black.
White.
Blue.
Red.
Orange.
Yellow.
Green.
Money.
Very interesting. Mr. Benny, you seem to have a certain fondness for money.
Well, perhaps a little, isn't it?
And tell me, when did you first notice your desire to hold on to money?
When I was 6 months old, I swallowed a dime.
Oh, and when did they get it out?
Oh, it's still in there.
Good heavens, man, why didn't you have a doctor remove it?
Well, how can you trust anyone when you're under ether?
Well, Mr. Benny, you've got to have confidence in... pardon me. Yes, nurse?
Oh, Dr. Nielsen, Mr. Skinner came back.
Oh, does he still imagine he's a rabbit?
I think so. He just cut two holes in his hat for his ears.
Well, throw him a carrot and I'll see him later. And now let's see, where were we?
Doc, please, about that echo.
Oh, yes. Mr. Benny, I've come to the conclusion that what you're suffering from is nothing more than a somatic hallucination induced by your psychotic neuroses and aggravated by self-induced inhibitions and subconscious phobias of the psychosomatic urges. And there's only one cure for it.
What's that?
A four-way cold tablet.
A cold tablet? Doctor, I'm all confused.
Well, in simple language, Mr. Benny, when you first heard those yodelers in Switzerland, they created a great impression on you. And now, when you think you hear these echoes, it's nothing more than a thought desire to return to the scene of a happy experience.
Oh. Well, what do you think I ought to do about it?
Well, stop working so hard. Take a vacation. Get away from Hollywood.
But where could I go?
Why don't you try Sun Valley?
In Idaho?
Idaho, let me do.
Well, I've always wanted to go there.
Just a minute, Mr. Benny.
Huh?
Didn't you hear that echo?
No, there was no echo that time.
That's funny. I could have sworn I heard one.
Oh, no, no. You see, it couldn't happen on a word like Idaho. It usually happens on words like I told you before. You know, like folio.
Folio?
Folio,
there it goes again. There it goes again. You heard it that time, didn't you, Mr. Benny? Didn't you? Didn't you?
No, no, no. I didn't hear anything.
But you must have. You must have.
Calm down, Mr. Nelson. There's no echo now. As you explained, it was just a figment of my imagination.
Then why am I hearing it? I don't give a hoot about Switzerland.
Well, thanks for helping me, Doctor. I feel a lot better.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't leave me now. Don't go. Don't go.
Don't go, Leone.
There it is again. There it is again. I don't want to be alone with that thing. Mr. Benny. Mr. Benny.
What's wrong with that, Doctor? Oh, well, I better get out of here. Oh, there's Mary sitting in the corner. Mary. Mary, I'm all cured. And it was the simplest thing in the world. The doctor talked to me for a few minutes, and then I... Mary, what's the matter? Mary.
Yeah. What's up, Doc?
Oh, why did I let you stay here with Mr. Come on, Mary, stop twitching your nose, and let's go. Well, Mary, I got to go over and rehearse with Bob Hope now.
Have you got a good part?
I don't know. I've got the script here. Let's see. On page 3, I say, "Hello, Bob." And then he says... Oh, here on page 6, I say, "Well, if it isn't High Averback." And then Bob says... Oh, but on page 12... Oh, no, they cut that. Oh, well, I'll ad-lib something. Good night, Bob.
Ah, that's just classic comedy right there, Roger. That's the Jack Benny program, November 7th, 1948. Jack, here's an echo. His whole gang on there, and you heard Mel Blanc in two of his cartoon roles,
right?
You know, Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig. But later, he would go on to play Barney Rubble on the Flintstones. And the nurse that was in that same scene, Bea Benaderet, would later go on to play his wife on that show, Betty Rubble. So you heard the Rubbles in that episode. The Rubbles. Hope you enjoyed the Jack Benny program. More here on WGN with the WGN Radio Theater after these words. Don't forget, Roger, when you shop at Woodman's, or any of our listeners, they can take their receipt. So you shop at Woodman's, you fill up your cart, and they have extra large carts at Woodman's. You know that?
You need it because they got such great food.
They do, really. It's amazing at Woodman's. So you fill up the cart, you go there, you check out, you pay for your food, and they give you a receipt. Don't throw that receipt out, folks.
Nope.
Take a picture of that receipt with your smartphone and email that picture to us at Woodman's, WGN, at gmail.com. Every single month, we change the 12 classic radio shows. You'll get 12 classic radio shows sent to you when you email us the receipt from Woodman's. This is an incentive for you to check out Woodman's. Go to Woodman's, check it out. I'm telling you, I shop at Woodman's. I can't believe how much money I save. And this is no baloney, folks.
Well, you can buy baloney there.
You can buy baloney there, yes. It's one of the... They probably have every kind of baloney you can buy.
I can imagine,
Because they have every... You should see just the bread. There's like 10 aisles of bread.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Woodman's is amazing. It's huge. They're huge.
Yes.
They're huge.
Yes.
And you save money at Woodman's. So I was shopping at another store. They became a sponsor. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, want to try them.
Right.
You know, when we were talking about having them be a sponsor, I said, well, let me go and check out Woodman's so I can. I went there and I am never shopping anywhere else because you really do. I save on average about $50. I spend about, I load up when I go, right?
Right.
I spend like $200+ at a time. And I'll bet you I save at least $50 each time going to Woodman's.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
plus,
awesome.
You can get 12 classic radio shows.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we swap them out every 12 different shows every month.
So if you shop there every month,
more than one time a month, but you know that when you take a picture and you send it in, that you're going to get those 12 shows for free.
Yeah, it's free. It's part of the whole experience of going to Woodman's.
That's over 120 shows a year.
That good math there, Roger.
I just got a headache from that. I did.
But put that abacus away. It's too big. Please, put that away.
My slide rule.
The email again, woodmanswgn@gmail.com.
That's right.
Send in your Woodman's receipt every month, and you'll get 12 classic radio shows. In our next hour, the classic radio show we're going to tune into.
Who?
The Cisco Kid.
Cisco.
Oh, Cisco.
Oh, Pancho.
So if we did a radio reenactment of the Cisco Kid.
Yeah.
You would be Cisco because your voice is deeper.
No.
Yes, I would want you to be.
Really?
I would cast you as Cisco.
Okay.
Can you
do a
little bit of a Spanish accent? Pancho.
Si, senor, I can do a little bit of
this
a Spanish accent.
This is good.
You know, we had them off at the pass.
You have the role. And then and then I would play Pancho. Hey, what's up, Pancho?
Hey, Pancho, do you have your gun and your bullets?
Well, no, Cisco, I don't have it. I don't have my bullets and my gun. Do I need it?
Pancho, I think we're going to. We're going up against the bad guys, bad hombres.
No. They're hombres, all right. They're bad hombres.
Bad hombres.
You know who's going to do this a lot better than us?
Uh-huh.
Jack Mather and Harry Lang, because they played Cisco and Pancho on the show.
That's great.
And they have sound effects and music along with the dialogue.
So you have to.
So it'll be a lot better than what we just did.
I think so.
So stick around for the Cisco Kid.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
What is the weather in Schaumburg? Do you know?
Schaumburg, they have...
Schaumburg?
It's so small.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That
how small is it?
It's smaller than its name.
Well...
That's how small it is.
The whole town is smaller than the name?
Smaller than its... If you blink...
Yeah.
You're 10 miles past it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how small it is.
When you're driving and you blink and you pass it.
Well, you don't have to drive.
So there's a sign that says you are entering Schaumburg, and by the time you're done reading it, you're not even in Schaumburg anymore.
Well, it changes to you are now leaving.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Right.
So it's hard to gauge the weather then.
It is.
It's that small of a town.
Because if you look up to see what the weather is, the time it takes you to lift your head, the weather's changed.
The weather has changed already.
Right.
That's an elusive town, that Schaumburg, isn't it?
Very elusive, yes.
All right, well, in this hour, it's the Cisco Kid. Before that, though, we're going to play our game, Is It Real or Is It Ridiculous, sponsored by Cat's Pride. And you know who the director is?
Who is it this time?
Probably the most famous director of all time, Steven Spielberg. Mr. Spielberg, or as I call him, Mr. Spielberg.
Well, of course, because you have dinner and lunch with him all the time.
Well, he calls me all the time. But he's kind of a pain.
Well, because you pick up the
check. Calling me all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to play our game. And what do they win, Roger?
Well, you know what? We had so much fun with those tickets.
Yeah.
A pair of tickets to Porchlight Revisits, Minnie's Boys, May 22nd and 23rd.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Be the third caller again. Play the game on the air with us right after these words.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
All right, let's get ridiculous. Bob's on the line. Hi,
yeah.
Bob. Bob,
Hello.
Are you there? Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right, man. You ready to win some tickets?
I am.
Okay. Steven Spielberg, let's start this off. Roger will be your lifeline. Spielberg has never won the Academy Award for Best Director. Is that real or is that ridiculous, Bob?
It's real.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's ridiculous. I think he did finally win much later in his career, and it wasn't an honorary.
All right, here's for Bob. Here's for Roger. But actually, Roger, you're only half right because he won earlier in his career. He didn't really win as of late. It's ridiculous. He's won Best Director twice, once for Schindler's List in 1994, and for Saving Private Ryan in 1999.
I think that's the one that
I thought. So it's been like 20-something years since he's won an Academy Award, but he has won two of them.
Yeah.
All right, next question, Bob. Spielberg charters his 282-foot mega yacht called The Seven Seas, and he charges over $1 million per month if you want to charter it. Bob, is that real or is that ridiculous?
I'm gonna say it's ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with you. I don't think he needs to
charter it out for $1 million. No. All right.
Whoa,
both
come
wrong.
On.
It is real. He bought this yacht in 2013. He paid just a mere $182 million for it.
Drop in the sea.
And he has recently ordered an even bigger yacht.
Oh, come on.
A 300-foot yacht at a reported cost of $250 million. And he does charter his Seven Seas mega yacht out for $1.2 million per month. If you or I want to, maybe
you know
we'll just split it.
A boat
Bob,
is
you want to get into this? You want to do a three-way split on this charter?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll go for a whole month.
Hey, I'll rent out my dinghy
like
for 50 bucks.
Four. What about your dinghy? So, Bob, it's 400 grand for you, 400 grand for Roger, and 400 grand for me, and we can rent that boat for a month.
Sure, I'll be
or
right
the
on
yacht.
That.
Yeah. All right, so number three here. All right, you ready? This is interesting, Roger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It's either real or ridiculous, mm-hmm. but it's interesting.
It's, yeah.
Spielberg owns Orson Welles' own directorial script for the 1938 radio broadcast of The War of the Worlds. Does he own that, Bob? Real or ridiculous?
Real.
Real.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that.
You both say real?
Yeah.
He owns a lot of memorabilia. He's a big fan of Orson Welles. Let me tell you something else he owns mm-hmm. that was in Orson Welles' film Citizen Kane. In 1994... in 1994, he bought that script,
mm-hmm.
but in 1982, so 12 years prior, he bought a balsa wood rosebud, you know, the sleigh.
Yeah, right.
The sled used in Orson Welles' film Citizen Kane. So, there you go. Well, Bob, you are a big winner.
Oh, big winner. A pair of tickets to the Porchlight Revisits Minnie's Boys of May 22nd and 23rd. Hope you can get that into your schedule. The award-winning Porchlight Music Theater takes Chicago back in time in this loving and joyful look at the young Marx Brothers in the Chicago premiere of this rarely seen gem. Get tickets at porchlightmusictheater.org.
Way to go, Bob. Thank you very much for playing the game.
Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
Bob's a big winner.
Yeah.
And don't forget, folks, we have our text in line. Roger is manning that, as Lisa will be back next week, and we'll be manning the text in line. But Roger's manning it.
I'm learning it as I go because I've never used it before, so I have to refresh it.
Yeah.
So we have several about the boat and my dinghy.
Yeah, we might need a bigger boat when it comes to Jaws. I'll tell you that right now.
We do need a bigger boat. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. 312-981 is the 312-981-7200 is our text in line. Time now, though, for the Cisco Kid. This was a Western created by O. Henry. The Cisco Kid was seen in films, TV, comic books, and heard on radio beginning in 1942. Jackson Beck for a while. He played Philo Vance in the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, in the radio show. He played Cisco, and Louis Sorin was Pancho. But later, Jack Mather and Harry Lang played the Cisco Kid and Pancho in the very popular syndicated radio series. And that's what we have for you now. Let's go back to May 12th, 1958. This is called Larrapin Lil. It stars Jack Mather and Harry Lang. Part one of the Cisco Kid.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he is getting closer.
This way, Pancho, Vamano.
The Cisco Kid. The Cisco Kid in our exciting story, Outlaw Brand. The branding of cattle as a visible means of identification was introduced by the Spanish conquistadores and carries on to the present day. But no one thought of a visible brand for the outlaws who infested the frontier when our West was young. Many lives might have been saved had people known that behind the smiling, handsome face of Vance Corden was a vicious, cunning streak, the outlaw brand of a killer. Our story opens as the bloody spurs worn by Vance cruelly rake the belabored flanks of his lathered mount as he heads the tired animal toward a small mountain ranch.
All right, you jug-headed broomtail. Keep moving. It's smoke from the chimney. The old man's house must mean he's cooking a fatted calf for the prodigal son's return. Oh, hold there. Saddled horse. Reckon the old man's got company. That horse might soon be minus a rider and have a new owner. Howdy. Anybody home?
Vince! Vince, boy! Is that really you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's me, all right, Pa.
Vance, it's so good to see you.
What's the matter, Pa? You sick?
It ain't much, boy. I can get up out of bed. I'm just coddling myself.
I need some money and a fresh horse, Pa.
What's the matter, Vance? Something wrong?
Now, look, I didn't come here to answer a lot of questions. If you want to give me the horse and money, all right. If not, I'll mosey along.
No, son. Wait.
What does that saddle horse outside belong to?
To Jane Winthrop, the daughter of my nearest neighbor.
That's so?
She rode over to see if she could help with some of the chores. Tell me. No, what's the matter, son? Tell me. I want to help you.
I don't need none of your Bible preaching advice. Be humble. Don't follow the path of evil. Love thy neighbors. Let me help you, Dad.
Mr. Corden, you shouldn't be out of bed. You know you shouldn't.
Well,
I'm awful sorry, miss. I didn't know Pa was so sick, I thought.
Vance Corden. So you're Vance Corden. Well, your dad talks about you all the time.
Now, come on, Pa. Better climb back into bed, huh?
Yeah. Easy does it. Vance, this is Jane Winthrop. The best neighbor a fella could wish for.
Oh, go along with you. You're just trying to shine up to me, Walt Corden, so as I'll stay and cook dinner.
It'd be a great honor if you would stay to dinner, Jane. I'd do the fixing.
Nonsense. I'll stay and I'll do the cooking. I know you and your dad have a lot to talk about. Now, never mind about me. I'll fetch some water and take care of things.
On second thought, I reckon I'll stay here, Pa. I don't figure you'll turn against me no matter what happens.
Well, I'll do anything I can to help you, as long as you're in the right, son. But if you're
don't
not...
Don't you say it, Pa. Don't even think it. I'm in the right. You know, I reckon I'd have to kill any hombre who figured I was in the wrong. Even you.
This is just like it before Pancho gets sick back in Hermosillo. Just like the old times.
What do you mean, Pancho?
There we was, riding along, minding our own businesses. We're not bothering nobody, nobody bother us.
Now, tell me truthfully, Chico, would you really pass by a wounded hombre who needed help?
No, but why that wounded hombre gotta be so mysterious? And then why he gotta die before he tell us the name of the hombre who I shoot him in the back?
All I know is what I've already told you, amigo.
Well, the worst part is that Pancho missed everything that hombre tells you, Cisco.
Where were you?
You sent Pancho to get the canteen full of water, remember? When Pancho bring it back, that hombre already died.
Oh, see, that is right. Well, the hombre told me his name was Britt Lombard.
Britt Lombard, huh?
Si.
Where that silver concho he gives you?
Here.
There's nothing special about it.
Britt Lombard said it came from the gun holster of his own partner, the coyote who shot him in the back.
He tells you why the partner shoot him in the back?
He was going to. He did not live long enough.
I just come fast.
For that unless I'm very much mistaken, those riders have the earmarks of a posse.
Yeah, you're right, Cisco. Partner see two hombres with badges.
Howdy, Bubba.
Hey, Sheriff Collins. You reckon these two are the ones who held up the bank and killed the bank clerks over at Springerville?
I don't know, Grid. That's what I'm to find out. You're a stranger in these parts, hombre.
I would not have been a stranger to you for long, Senor Sheriff, if I was coming to look for you.
What for?
He not talked to you, Deputy. Talked to the sheriff.
Yeah, why were you looking for me?
Because of a dead hombre and a strange story.
What dead hombre and what story?
If you listen with your ears, Senor Deputy, and stop waggling the mouth, you'll soon learn.
I don't take that kind of talk from a couple of renegade chuck line riders.
Yeah, hold on to your temper, Grid. What's your name, hombre?
I'm called the Cisco Kid, Senor Sheriff.
And I called Pancho.
So, it's a Cisco Kid, boys.
And Pancho, too.
Mighty peculiar that an outlaw like the Cisco Kid is just riding through this part of the country, and the bank over at Springerville just happens to get held up.
Yeah, and let's not be forgetting them bank clerks that were murdered.
Cisco, what did hombre do with your rope?
Lynch him!
Un momento, hombre. Un momento! There'll be no lynching.
Yeah. Put up that gun, Cisco.
Come on, boys. Take it from him.
All right. Go ahead. Since you all seem to know of my reputation, who'll be the first to go against my guns?
Sit tight, boys. I reckon these two are the hombres we've been looking for. After murdering the bank clerks at Springerville, they won't hesitate in killing any of us.
There is no use trying to explain to a lynch-minded posse. Every one of you hombres. Remove your guns from your holsters carefully. Drop them to the ground. Andre!
Better do it, boys. It's an order. This killer don't mind adding another notch to his gun.
That way, everybody cop.
Oh, my head!
I told you to handle that gun carefully, deputy.
You're not hurt. Just go and shoot the gun with your hand.
Don't risk your lives, boys. Do as he says.
Bueno. Now, Senor Sheriff, you are supposed to be upholding the law.
That's what I'm doing. I ain't gonna rest till I catch up with you again. And you rest assured you won't ever get the drop on me like you have now.
Come on, Pancho. Up, Cabaca.
Go.
It's smart, boys. Get your guns.
Stay where you are.
We shouldn't be out of gun range, Cisco. Better get out of here fast.
Hey, now. Up, Cabaca.
Go.
Hope you and Dad have a good appetite, Vance. Dinner will be ready soon.
Reckon I'll go on out and look after my horse, Jane.
You'll find plenty of grain and a clean blanket out in the stable, Vance.
I loosened the cinch of your saddle, Vance. Your horse was very tired.
Yeah. You see, I rode hard when I heard Pa was sick.
Well, your Dad's gonna be all right now that you're back home. Aren't you, Walt?
If I ever get rid of this pesky cough.
Now, you just be patient, Pa. Don't worry about the ranch. I'll look after things.
Oh, would you take my horse over to the stable with yours, Vance?
Why, sure. Be glad to, Jane.
Thanks.
You remember what we were talking about before, Pa?
Yeah?
You just take it easy and keep remembering it.
He's a good son, Walt. Sure does worry about you.
Got them both buffaloes. Come here, Cayuse. You two, you jughead. Got the gal fool into thinking I'm an angel. The old man's scared I'm the devil. Well, that suits me fine. Let's make a perfect hat out. What's the matter with you, Broomtail? Come on, move. Get in that store. You get in the other one.
And you get them hands up in the air, Vance. Up high now and keep them wide.
All right, don't shoot.
I won't. As long as you give me no cause to. Now turn around slow and careful like.
Yeah. What do you want with me, Sheriff?
Not Sheriff, just Deputy. Deputy Sheriff Grid Baylor.
Grid Baylor? Well, I should have recognized you.
So you become a Deputy Sheriff,
That's
huh?
what the badge says, Vance. You and me always used to talk about how we'd get what we wanted when we was kids.
Looks like you decided to line up with the law. Is that what you wanted?
I want the same things you do. I figure this is a smarter way to get it than what you're doing.
I don't know what you mean, Grid. Can I put my hands down?
Sure. As soon as we're sure we understand each other.
What's to understand?
You fit the description of one of the Springerville bank bandits. We've been getting wanted posters on you from Texas, Vance. That's how I knew to come here.
Yeah, and I reckon everybody knows I hit the Owl Hoot Trail.
No, Vance, only me. You see, I kept those posters for my information alone.
You figuring to use them now?
Against my own partner? Hey, that's not good business.
Wait a minute, why do you want me as a partner?
Says we can share in the money you collected from the Springerville bank.
I ain't been in Springerville.
Don't lie to me. The hombre who did the job with you was found with a bullet in the back.
But I'm trying.
Listen, I can either turn you in and collect a fat reward, or we can work together and someday control this entire territory. Now, what'll it be?
Be your way, Grid. We'll split that bank money.
Only they'll be looking...
I forgot to tell you. They'll be looking for them two riders coming this way. Sheriff Collins and the posse are looking for them now.
Hey, one of them's a Cisco Kid.
Yeah, that's a fact, ain't it? That Vinegaroon shot the gun from my hand.
What are you going to do about it?
Kill them two Springerville bank robbers and deliver the bodies to the sheriff? We'll probably collect a reward. You going to help me, Vance?
Just wait till he gets a little closer, Grin. All right. Get Cisco forward, dismounts. He's a perfect target.
Pour it onto him. We can't miss. Now!
And with so many bullets fired at such close range, how can Cisco and Pancho possibly escape death? In just a moment, we'll return to the Cisco Kid.
Well, you know what? Mike loaded the wrong Cisco Kid show.
Oh,
so
man.
It's still a great episode of the Cisco Kid.
Yeah.
But we said we were going to listen to Lair Up in Lil from May 12, 1958. That is not the name of this show. So it was one show later than that. On the master, we have him on
episode list.
We have him on like digital files.
Okay.
So this episode is called Outlaw Brand, and it's from June of 1958. So
June.
Please make a note
of
that.
That's the
folks.
Month I was that I was born
in June,
my birthday, and 58. I was 6 years old when this.
You were six?
I think I may
you
have
were
heard
listening.
This.
You were listening. To
I
this.
Was. I honest to goodness.
And you probably had your Cisco Kid outfit on at
I
the time.
Had, I did,
which would have been really cute. I'm sure you would have looked cute.
You should have seen some of the outfits. Okay. What
when
are we
I was
doing
a
now?
Kid, I was Batman. That was I.
Well, but
I
you come from an walked, older time,
yeah,
you know, 66, or late
Batman
earlier time.
Batman
you know.
Came out in 66.
But I'm talking about when radio was king. So
yeah.
So in 58, there was no Batman TV.
No, there wasn't.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. You were
you're from a TV.
You were
age.
Listening
I'm from
to Hopalong Cassidy and the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Cisco Kid.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just want to make sure everyone knows that we're listening to Outlaw Brand on the Cisco Kid and not Lair Up in Lil.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's do that spot and then we'll go to news.
Texting and driving is very serious. Remember, safe driving is everyone's responsibility. Put that phone down. Don't text and drive. This message courtesy of D-Line Logistics Incorporated, serving you with quality and pride. For information, call 224-456-2713. That's 224-456-2713. That's D-Line Logistics Incorporated, on the air reminding everyone, don't tempt fate. That text can wait.
And I'll tell you this, there is no text worth losing your life over.
That is true.
And I've seen that that there's posters that say that.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. I see, and you know, just, I don't think it was yesterday I was on the highway, a woman going, I'm not, you know, men do it too, but there was a woman in a car, and she was going from lane to lane, and I looked over, and what was she doing?
Texting.
She's looking down. Her car is going in this lane and that lane. And she's just texting away on the highway. On the highway.
Which is worse because you're going faster. But it doesn't, it can be on a regular street. I was driving back home from an event Friday afternoon and trying to turn left across the traffic. And this car comes slow, like 2 miles an hour through the intersection, blocking it. The person on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Texting
away.
Yeah.
Don't text, folks, when you drive.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I think I sounded exactly like Lionel Richie there singing that, don't you?
You sounded,
just like him.
Nothing
just like him. I'm gonna get a singing contract. Yeah. Someone out there is gonna
come at you with a baseball bat.
Is going to hire me.
No, they're gonna. I'm going to sue you.
I'm hoping someone
damages.
Out there is going to hire me to sing on an album.
Yeah.
And going to give me a comedy contract, stand-up comedy.
Oh, it's going to be a laugh, all right.
All right. You know who laughs a lot?
Who?
Pancho.
Oh, he does. Cisco's.
Oh, Pancho.
Cisco.
They laugh a lot. All right, this is called The Outlaw Brand, June of 1958. The conclusion now to The Cisco Kid.
Back to the Cisco Kid in our gripping story, Outlaw Brand. After robbing the Springerville Bank and killing the clerks, Vance Corden shoots his partner Britt Lombard in the back and kills him. Cisco and Pancho find the body and later are accused of the murder and bank robbery. They attempt to trail the killer and run into a trap set up by Vance and crooked deputy Grid Bailey. The two desperados pour a volley of homicidal gunfire at our friends at the very moment they stop their horses.
We got both of them, Van. Hold your fire!
Them gunshots will bring my pa and the neighbor's gal out of the house. You'll be sure and tell them I'm on the side of the law, huh?
Consider yourself a member of the posse, Vance.
Getting rid of the Cisco Kid gives me a perfect alibi and gives us a big push toward controlling this territory.
Don't forget who first saw the possibility of this setup. Who's going to be giving the orders?
Don't worry, I ain't likely to. A good measure, I ought to put an extra bullet through Cisco's head.
First, make sure I'm dead, Curdy. Hey.
Kill him!
Try it! You try it too, Deputy!
Shoot him!
Yeah. Oh. Up on your feet, you skulking sidewinders! You deserve more than just a gunshot from your hands.
All right, don't shoot.
Whatever you say, Cisco. So, this is how the law is upheld in this part of the country. I will see to it that you...
Good work, Chan. You knocked him out cold.
I sure don't like doing this, but when I saw him holding that gun on you and Grid Baylor, then...
I gotta hand it to you, Jane. You sneaked up behind Cisco as quiet as a cougar after a lamb.
You called him Cisco. The Cisco Kid?
That's right, Walt. That's the Cisco Kid. Notorious outlaw. He's wanted by more sheriffs in the Southwest than a dogie has ticks.
His partner's not dead. This is just a scalp wound.
Get some rope, Vance. We'll tie these two and take them into town.
Watch Cisco close. Careful, he ain't playing possum again.
The Cisco Kid don't carry an outlaw brand, Grid Baylor.
Oh, Walt Gordon, you shouldn't be out here. Now, come on, let's get back into the house. Let Grid and Vance tend to their own business.
But, Jane...
I know, but your health is more important than a couple of bandits. That's Sheriff Collins' handle.
We've got to keep Jane and my pa on our side, Grid.
What are you worried about?
Well, you've heard what Jane said about Sheriff Collins. What Pa said about Cisco.
I heard. Cisco and Poncho will never live to see the sheriff again. On the way into town, they'll be shot. I can say they tried to escape. Who's to prove different?
It's a lot of good sense they won't.
Let's get that money you got from the Springerville Bank and get going.
Yeah, sure. After we tie Cisco and Poncho, we'll go dig it up. And after we deliver their bodies to the sheriff, we'll help dig them a grave.
I can't believe it, Mr. Corden. Vance is your son.
It's hard to believe, Jane. With his innocent face and that nice way about him, it's hard for me to believe, too.
Vance and Grid left Cisco and Pancho tied hand and foot to that big oak tree outside. Maybe we ought to go talk to them.
I reckon we should, Jane. That's why I told you what I suspect.
All right, but bundle up. Button your collar around your throat.
It's a hard thing for a man to... to turn against his own son. Especially when he wants to believe that son is not an outlaw.
Are you sure you want to go through with this, Mr. Corden?
Yeah, I'm sure, Jane. I gotta find out the truth. No matter how much it hurts. You and me... ain't the kind who'd let innocent hombres pay for someone else's crime.
If what you think is true, then Grid Baylor is just as guilty. Maybe the sheriff, too.
We'll take one thing at a time, Jane. Make up our minds about them when we get all the facts.
Gotta be the one, Cisco. That gotta be the senorita what knocked you out.
I did what Pancho accuses me of, Cisco. You might have done the same if you had seen a stranger holding a gun on someone you thought to be law-abiding.
What you did is understandable and excusable, senorita.
The lump on Pancho's head from the bullet wound, that's excusable. Ow.
I have the mate to yours on my head, Pancho.
Oh, I'm sorry. Really, I am.
Vance Corden's my boy. I don't want to believe he's bad, Cisco. But I got to know the truth.
Why ask me, Senor Corden?
Because I've heard enough of the Cisco Kid's deeds to know that he carries the law with him. Even though he don't wear a badge.
Yeah, you're right, senor. Cisco always on the side of the law. In Pancho, too.
Well, if you're innocent of what they accuse you, it means that the deputy, Grid Baylor, is a thieving skunk.
That is true. That's what he is.
If you can prove any part of what you say, we'll cut you loose. Set you free.
Very well, senor. Reach into my vest pocket. No, the other one. Bueno.
What is it, Mr. Corden?
The Pancho from...
Momento, chico.
Huh?
Do you recognize it, Senor Corden?
Yeah, I do.
Seems to me I've seen it before.
Yeah, Jane, you saw another just like it on one of the gun holsters Vance is wearing.
That's right. The concho from the other holster is missing. This is it. Where did you get this, Cisco?
From the hands of a dead hombre. Before he died, he gave it to me. And said his bandido partner could be identified by it.
See, in that party, the one must shoot the hombre in the back.
Oh, no. No, not Vance.
Yeah, Vance. My own son. I always knew he was wild and a bit ornery, but I didn't ever think he was a killer.
I'm sorry, senor.
You're a kind man, Cisco. To be sorry after what Vance has done to you. As soon as I get my pocket knife out, I'll cut you loose.
That mad deputy shooted us.
Stay away from them prisoners, Walt. What do you mean by trying to cut them ropes?
You know that's again the law, Pa.
You don't have to pretend no more, son. I know you for what you are.
What's he talking about? What's that in his hand?
It fits, don't it, Vance?
Where'd you get that?
From Cisco.
Britt Lombard gave it to me before he died. He says...
There's a lie inside, Juan. If he told you, I shot him in the back.
And it's true.
Yeah. It's true, all right.
I never mentioned that Britt Lombard was shot in the back, Vance Corden.
And when you say it now, do you admit you do the killing?
All this blabbering means just one thing to me, Vance.
Yeah. Ain't no other way out, Grid.
Even though he's your old man?
Do I ask you what caliber bullets you carry in your belt?
But he's your father, Vance. You wouldn't dare.
I got the gal. Grab my paw, Grid.
I got him.
Let me go.
You sheep-stealing rawhider.
We only free if we...
Shut up, you. Shut up. You ain't. And the only time you'll be free is when you're dead. Come on, Vance. Let's get your pa and Jane into the house. This job has to be done so there's no way to trace the doers and so there's no corpses to tell of the doing. Dynamite.
Madre mía, that dynamite. Those coyotes mean what they say. They go to blow us all to bits.
Keep working at the ropes which tie you, Pancho.
See.
I can only loosen mine enough to...
What are those Mavericks doing, Cisco?
I think they are testing how short a fuse they can use and still not hurt themselves. I think the ropes are stretching a little...
Pancho, wish those sidewinders blow themselves up with that dynamite.
I still wish to be able to turn them over to the law.
They're nothing worse than a pakrat who tried to kill his own padre. He not really dynamite the house while Senor Corden and Senorita Jane inside, Cisco.
I believe that is exactly what he intends to do, Pancho. Otherwise, why would he have tied them and left them there?
Cisco, that Grid Baylor and Vance Corden coming back now. Pancho, wish Pancho's rope's a little looser.
Keep tugging at them, Pancho. The ropes will stretch. We may free ourselves in time to stop those killers.
Set that dynamite alongside the house, Vance. I'll light the fuse.
Go ahead, light it.
The dynamite's set.
Hey, those murders. Look, Cisco, they light the fuse.
Lucky it is a long fuse. Pancho, I've pulled my hands free.
Get your pocket knife, Cisco.
See?
Cut the ropes from your feet and from Pancho before those coyotes see you.
Here's the knife. for the ropes from my feet. Now for you, amigo.
Andale, Cisco. Those mavericks shoot you dead if they see you. See the tree?
Stay where you are, Pancho. Pretend you are still tied as I am doing. Keep an eye. Here they come.
As soon as I get this dynamite fuse lit, you two and them two in the house are going to have a real bang-up send-off.
I'd cut the gab and light the match, Vance.
There'll be no match lit, Vance Corning.
Cisco's loose. Out of the way. I'll gun him down.
Missed me, you maverick.
Pancho helped you with this killer, Cisco.
Dynamite at the house, Pancho. Get it. Detach the fuse.
Pancho, don't do this, Cisco.
Not if I get hold of you, you fat babble.
You are going nowhere, maverick.
There's nothing more despicable than a son who would murder his own father. I'll
bash your head in, Cisco.
I've been waiting for the chance to settle with you, good failure. Oh. Pancho, Santos, Pancho, the dynamite, get rid of it. Madre mía.
I can get the fuse pulled out, Cisco.
May go off any minute. Here, give it to me.
Hey, Cisco, hit the dynamite. What you going to do?
Throw it as far away as I can.
Chihuahua, that's a close one, Cisco. We almost blown up.
Almost. Come on, let us see if the senorita and senor Cordon are all right.
Yeah, Pancho, think they're both plenty scared. But they'd be glad to know you knock out both those bandidos.
Senorita, senor.
We're still alive, Cisco, and all right, thanks to you.
Yeah, give Pancho your knife, Cisco, and Pancho cut their ropes.
I don't know what to say to you, Cisco. Even though I know Vance is a killer, that he carries the outlaw brand,
Do not try to say anything about it to me, Señor Corden. I understand, and so do you. Those who wear an outlaw brand must sooner or later pay for their crimes. That is the way of justice.
Cisco.
Si, Pancho.
That sheriff more surprised than anybody to learn his deputy, a bandido.
You know, I was glad to find out that the sheriff is an honest hombre.
Yeah, too bad. Another honest hombre like Senor Corden got a killer son like that coyote Vance.
Si, it is. But though Senor Corden feels badly, he knows it is right for his son to have to pay for his crimes.
Yeah, that's right, Cisco. And Pancho feel the same way for Cosmin de Law four times away, Emiliano.
You mean your distant cousin Emiliano is in jail?
He in for 2 weeks.
Well, what did he do?
Oh, he killed a hombre.
And they gave him only 2 weeks in jail?
Yeah, then they're going to hang him.
Oh, Pancho!
Oh, is this the... Oh.
And so ends another exciting adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid. Be sure to listen again for another thrilling adventure of The Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid was played by Jack Mather, Pancho by Harry Lang.
That's The Cisco Kid, going back to June of 1958 for Outlaw Brand, starring Jack Mather, Harry Lang. You know, for a while on this series, this was on a long, long time. Mm-hmm. It was on, like, you know, 15 years on the air, right. Syndicated. Mm-hmm. And for a while, Harry Lang took ill, and Mel Blanc filled in as Pancho. In fact, we've aired some of those shows.
Wow.
And this particular series was syndicated by Frederick W. Ziv. You've heard of that name?
Yes.
Frederick W. Ziv. He did a lot of television.
Mm-hmm.
But he was really the king of radio syndication back in the golden age of radio. Some of his shows shows Bold Venture with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, Boston Blackie, which we played tonight, Mr. District Attorney was another one, and this show, The Cisco Kid. You know, but out of all of those that I just mentioned, you would think like Humphrey Bogart, Boston Blackie, the most successful show that he ever syndicated, The Cisco Kid, was on about 500 radio stations.
And plus in 58... I don't have the exact dates in front of me, but I remember watching black and white Cisco Kid on TV.
Sure. And then it turned
to
color.
In the 50s.
Then it turned to color.
Well, because we put the color, sheet of plastic in front of it with the rainbows.
They started filming them in color, too.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, they started filming them in color. You know, they did the same thing with the Lone Ranger for a while. It was black and white, and then someone said, hey, you know what? We better start doing these in color. And so, but Cisco Kid, I think, was the same way, too, right? I mean, they were black and white for a while, and then color. Interesting.
Yep.
All right, let's take a quick break with your spot, and then we'll go to
Sounds good. America, our military is sacrificing for our freedom. Please take time to remember our men and women fighting overseas. This salute courtesy of Alley 64 Bar and Grill in Palatine. They're the best-kept secret in town. Stop by 2001 North Rand Road in Palatine or call 847-934-6408. That's 847-934-6408. That's Alley 64 Bar and Grill on the air, welcoming our troops as they return home.
That's how he rides free.
That's how he rides.
He was riding
free
with Cisco Kid, I think, back then.
Well, he took the taxi.
That's right. He took an Uber. He took an Uber.
An Uber horse. Could you imagine having an Uber horse
back then
with a wagon, like a little Surrey with a fringe on top?
Yeah.
You know, you can, with a little Uber sticker on the back?
Sure. I would have. You know what? I'll tell you what. If we were back then during the golden age of radio, I have a question for you. Back in the golden age of radio, right, you get to play one part on the air. Like, who would you want to be? Would you want to be Lamont Cranston?
Oh, my gosh.
Would you want to be Boston Blackie? Would you want to be Sam Spade? Would you want to be Maisie? Would you want to be Maisie?
I don't think so.
All right, one part. You get to play one part during the golden age of radio. What
Jack
part
Benny.
Is it? You'd be Jack Benny.
Benny.
Wow. You know what would be great about being Jack Benny? You not only could be the Jack Benny on the Jack Benny show, but he was guesting on all kinds of shows.
I know. He was all over the place.
He was even on Suspense. Four or five times he did episodes of Suspense.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I would love it because it was so much fun.
Yeah.
Not just the scripts, but when they would break each other up and crack each other up about
it was the biggest show, probably, Jack Benny.
It has to be.
That's a good one. I'm going to say Lamont Cranston.
You like those mysteries.
I like the scary. It's not that they're scary, but,
the shadow wasn't scary. It was intrigue.
It was a mystery detective.
Suspense
was great, too. But
and he wore a costume.
I think I would want to play. I would want to play Lamont Cranston. Did you know that this is not a joke? Did you know that years and years ago, I bought the hat, the cape, the scarf, and the ring worn by Alec Baldwin
in the movie,
the 1984 movie, or I think it was 1994 movie, The Shadow.
Yeah.
So, and it's all, I have it.
You got it.
The producer even did a verification and all that, so people would know. I have it, and I've worn it for Halloween.
And that's what I was going to say.
I have worn it.
What candy bag do you carry?
That's how much I like The Shadow. And I also have two Blue Coal rings. You know, Blue Coal was a sponsor, and they had
the
coat
rings.
It was like a glow-in-the-dark ring that they gave away one year. I have two of those, but I have the actual ring that Alec Ball, he has big fingers, by the way.
Really?
It fits on my thumb. So his,
wow.
And, I have the ring that Alec Baldwin wore in that movie, along with the scarf, his cape, his whole cape, hat.
So here's what you're going to have to do then.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wear it on Halloween weekend when we do Halloween shows.
I'll wear it.
And then Lisa will wear something. What do you have a costume from a radio show for a lady? Do you have anything?
She'd be Margot Lane. She'd have to be Margot Lane.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. You'd have to be Shrevey. You'd be the cab driver, Shrevey. But you'd be driving an Uber.
I need
back to the Uber.
Horse.
We did a 360 degrees there.
Pretty good, right?
I almost said 180, and that's not right because it's 360.
Right. That's
all the way back to it. But yeah, I know, and I have it, and I'll wear it for this Halloween. And I'll let you wear it too, Roger.
Well,
you can wear it too.
I am not worthy.
Yes, you
I will
are
be
worthy.
The cab driver.
No, it's
I'll be happy.
Worthy. Are you doing the news at 2 o'clock?
I think I am.
All right, so then I'll say who the sponsor is. How's that?
That sounds
and
great.
By the way, Dave Plyer's up next, and I want to thank Shante Garth as our producer. She's amazing, and thanks to all our listeners. We'll be back tonight. Roger and I, we're going to play The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, and The Jack Carson Show. And Howard Duff, of course, plays Sam Spade. And then he guests on The Jack Carson Show. What do you think of that, Roger?
You look at how you worked
I'm
that
telling
out.
You. You know what?
You was one
patting
smart
myself
dude.
On the back, but my shoulder kind of hurts.
Yeah,
so I'll let you do it later.
Maybe.